thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies as we come together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our parents in this house. Lord, thank you because all that we can do, all that we have seen has come through them. Lord, as we go into this time in the Word, Father, Lord, I just come ducking under their covering, ducking, Lord, under the anointing. Lord, asking that you have mercy upon me, Lord, in a heart of full submission. Lord, even to be able to tap into that anointing, to have their mantles upon me, to be able to minister effectively as they would if they were here present in the name of Jesus. That the word will go forth in accuracy, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and in the love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal and an eternal work in all of our hearts and in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, put a word in my heart. God be the glory. The word put a word in my heart this evening, and I'm just echoing the things I've learned in this house, the things I've heard. I'm an echo, you know. I that's why I confessed up front. With me, it's just going to be echoing, 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 and I trust God will cause us to be blessed, you know, in that echoing in Jesus' name. This evening is the abundant life, the abundant life. And just want to start with some definitions. You know, what's abundance? Abundance is having a very great, unlimited quantity of something, something innumerable, something that is more than sufficient. To have an abundance of something is to have it in excess, without scarcity, without any limitations. And a great place to look at the abundance is in the promised land of the Old Testament, as described in Deuteronomy. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. There we see God describes what he counts as abundance, and then we'll go on later and see how this typology goes into the New Testament. We'll just read some parts. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Every commandment which... So I'll start from verse 1, and I'll tell you when we'll skip. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful. Let's say it together. You must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. So verse 1 is telling us there's a promised land that has been sworn to the fathers. But to go in and possess that land, you must be careful to observe so that you'll be able to live and multiply and go in. Then he describes in verse 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. So the wilderness was a deliberate experience. It wasn't a mistake. Yes, it was using their infirmities. They didn't take the short route. They went the longer route. But in there, God was saying, I'm testing you. Will you keep this commandment? Will you qualify to go in to possess that promised land? Verse 3. So he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger. All the prosperity message people. God can allow you to hunger. You know, I will never suffer. I will never hunger. I will never lack in Jesus' name. It's not my portion. Sometimes, you know, God allows it. He's not the one who brings it. But he allows it and he permits it because he knows that in that permission of it, things are going to be worked out better in our lives. So he allowed you to hunger. He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Revelation knowledge, word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 4, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell. There's no physical things, you know, went wrong. Your heart, you should do in your heart, that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. He loves us. He's watching out for us. He's rebuking us. He's dealing with us so that we may come up to be able to possess the land that he has for us. All his thoughts are thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring us to an expected end. You know, the Bible says if we allow our natural fathers to chasten us and deal with us, who sometimes the chastening is, how much more should we allow God? So in anything we're going through, in this our walk with God, let's take it. You know, there's nothing. At the end of the day, there's an eternal purpose that God is working out. There's a plan at the end of the day, and just stay with the Lord, and it will come through. Amen? So let's start getting to the description of the abundance in the land. Verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and of fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, that's abundance. You won't be lacking anything, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig out copper, all natural minerals, all kinds of things in your land. As in our land, Nigeria. They're not for the Chinese, they're for us. Amen? When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Vital. Verse 11. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't put it there. If it wasn't possible, God wouldn't put it there. It means that after we enter and we possess, we have to be careful. Just as we're careful to enter to possess, we need to be careful after we enter. That is the way we must behave after we have entered. Verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I commanded today. The very things that took you in are the things that are going to keep you there. I love Pastor. Pastor said, I will never get tired of reading my Bible. I'll never get tired of praying. I will never grow to the stage where I won't pray again. I won't read my Bible again. I won't do all the very things that God put together to take him to where he's got to now, are things that he's going to continue, and is a challenge to us. We haven't got to where he is yet. So why are we resting? Why are we coasting? Let's press ahead. God will have mercy on us. I'm speaking to myself. We shouldn't be satisfied. Keep on pressing, keep on going. Verse 11 again. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, you have really entered. It's no longer an imagination, it's not a desire. You are now living the reality. The dream has come to pass. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, everything is just zoom, 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 abundance. Thank you, sir. God is just multiplying. It's now a multiplying game. You have it, before you can look at it, multiply. Amen? Amen. And when your heart is lifted up, our heart will not be lifted up in Jesus' name. But it's not by our confession only, it's by living the word. The commandments, the statutes, the law that took us in, we must stay in there with them. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, it won't be our portion in Jesus' name. But Pastor said we must read scripture. It's in scripture. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage? Who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty lands where there was no water? Who brought water for you out of the flinty rock? Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you to do you good in the end? So all that testing again is just rehashing what we saw earlier, but it's taken it from the perspective of you've now entered. Remember all the things that made you enter. You must continue in them. You must stay humble. The things that God was doing. So the tests are not coming anymore. But the test of earlier times, the product that those tests brought, you must maintain it. You must exercise it. It almost becomes something that you yourself now do deliberately. You are now exercising. I can do this, I can do that, you know. And then I thank God for mommy. You know, where she's bigger than the people who are coming. I mean, you know, our children are graduating, our children are in universities, things like that. So the parents that are coming now are really, 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 I mean, anybody bringing an 11-year-old to a school now is a younger person. But mommy will still give them honor. Mommy, you know, I mean, she knows the age, she knows the thing. You say, you know, this and that, you know, sir, you know, I learned that thing. It's a service. The person is sir. He's paying money for his service, he's sir. You know, but for what I'm going for is a spiritual thing. You exercise yourself. You don't think, who is he? Who am I? You know, who are they? You humble yourself. So after we get, we need to exercise ourselves in humility, almost as the self thing that we do. Remembering now that after I get in, it won't be our portion in Jesus' name. But it's possible to get in and lose all those things. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. Verse 16. Okay, I just read it. We'll read it again. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth. That we will never see that in Jesus' name. Say, I will never see that in Jesus' name. God will have mercy upon me. I will never say that in Jesus' name. I will always remember that it is the power of God. I will always remember it is the wealth that has come from God in Jesus' name. No matter how high I go, I will always remember. God will help us. We'll always remember in Jesus' name. And you shall remember. Verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God. You keep on remembering. Keep on taking your mind to God. It's God who? It's God that did this. So tell your children it's God. Tell the neighbors it's God. Let everybody know it's God. When they come and say, you are this, you are that, I'm nothing, it's God. Now God win. Amen? Amen. Okay. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. And this is how to make sure you stay in that humility. The power to get wealth is so that he, God, may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Amen? The power to get wealth is so that God can use you, the wealth he has given you, to establish his covenant upon the earth. So after the wealth has come, you keep on asking yourself, this thing I'm doing now, is it establishing the covenant upon the earth? This lifestyle I'm living now, is it helping to establish the covenant? Or have I stayed just laying back and indulging? Amen? Remembering that there's a time to be in battle. Thank you, sir. You keep on going to battle when it's time for battle. You don't slack. You don't get into funny things, you know. I mean, no need to mention him. Some, I remember when I just first got born again, you know, some old-time Christians, I believe God has had mercy, you know, building house, gold taps, gold showers, you know, and they say they're proclaiming the goodness of God, you know. How? You know, but that's how, I mean, these are people who are anointed, you know, error can creep in the silliest of ways, you know, where you look back and think, you know, how did they fall for that? But if they fell for that, it means that potential is there. Let's ask God for mercy, you know, and keep ourselves humble. Praise the Lord. Again, let's just look again in the Old Testament. Won't take so much time this time. Deuteronomy 28 also talks of this abundance. This is the part where the first 14 verses are blessings, and then almost three times the number of verses after that. So he's telling us, God is letting us know which side he's weighing the word on. Don't just, you know, it's easy for me to tell you the blessing. I can tell you in 14. But listen to the instructions of how to keep out of the problems of the other ones. But we're looking at an abundance setting. Deuteronomy 28. Let's see from verse 1. And it shall come to pass, again, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. So that's the purpose of God. To take you to an abundance land so that he can set you. And set you and I above all nations. Us collectively as a nation in Zion. And then individually within that nation. But the plan of God is to set us high above. But again, the conditions. That's why I went to verse 1 again. That if their conditions. It's not just, I wish it's going to be so. Their conditions. If you diligently. There's diligently in it now. In the other one, it was, you know, obey the Lord. And if you say, diligently obey the Lord. The voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully. There was carefully there as well. There is a carefulness that will not allow us to fall into error. Be careful as barefooted priest. Careful in checking your motives. Careful in judging yourself when there's nobody to judge you. Careful when we are so big now, who's going to come and tell you when you're doing something wrong? Is you the only one who has, you know, enough to say, you know, and pass over a beautiful word when it says, you know, when is you who can say, there's a power to continue doing wrong, but you judge and say, no, that's not right. This is right. This is not right. Not because anybody is talking to you anymore, but you and God and a conviction, you know, in your heart. God will help us and grant us mercy to be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 2, 3, 4, all describes more, you know, of these blessings that occur, you know, in the promised land. Blessings will come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed are you in the city. Blessed are you in the country. Blessed be you in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offsprings of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause the enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way, they shall flee before you seven ways. We're going to move into the typology in the New Testament. All these things are not just physical. I know we've been reading brooks and rivers, and it's not a prosperity message. We're not looking at it from the point of view of God is going to bless my storehouse. Yes, but at the end of the day, you know, it's the implication that we're going to get to a place where God wants to be spiritually, so that we can have His covenant, God's covenant established in the earth, and the nations, you know, His kingdom will come, His will be done on earth. That's what God is aiming for. That will be our focus in Jesus' name. Amen. And so it says, just a page there. Okay, verse 8. The Lord will command the blessings on you, on your storehouses, in all that you set your hands to do. You will just be prospering in this promised land. Again, is that multiply, multiply, multiply. Anything you set your hand to do. You know, you just touch it. God will just give you a thought, give you an idea. You execute it. You know, there's a connection with God, a flow of God's resources, wisdom, light, power, ability. That brings about, you know, these things for the purpose of God to be fulfilled in the earth. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you. If, condition again, you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens to give you rain to the land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only Zion and not beneath. If, condition, you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. And so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Amen? So we see Deuteronomy 8, Deuteronomy chapter 28, the promised land description, a land of an abundance, a land where things are multiplying, there's a free flow. You know, God is having His will done, and His purposes are being fulfilled in our lives, for the purpose of us establishing His covenant upon the earth, for the nations to see us and to be afraid of us, reverential fear that we are called by the name of God. So every time we look around, whatever we have achieved, if the nations are not yet doing those things, it's not time to relax. It's not time for gold taps. It's not time for fancy things. It's not time, you know, the nations are there. And right now, the nations aren't. The nations are going in the other direction. Full swing. Supreme Court in America is saying same sex, you know. I mean, that just shows the way the world is right now. Okay? I mean, somebody put it beautifully. Yes, that's the Supreme Court, but they're not. The Bible is not their constitution. You know, they're men who are making decisions based in their mind. But we have to get God exalted to that place where that dominion is there. People will see things through the eyes of God. There are people who will not agree, but at least we're going to have an impact and see. And those whose hearts are right. Because there are some whose hearts are right, but they're just flowing. It's a terrible tide. You know, it's a fearful tide. Their children are going to grow up, and it's just the mercy of God. The revival will break forth. Those children will end up somewhere. They will have light or something. Otherwise, you know, pastors will tell me one day, there is no hope. If a person grows up in the house where there are two daddies, two mommies, everybody has said it's normal, you know, sir, he's not even confused anymore. You know, the confused one is the person who thought this was good and this was bad. There's no confusion. This is just correct. This is just normal. That's the sad part. You know, the person who there's something to steal, I don't feel comfortable with this. Where there is no more discomfort. Jack's brother is there. This one's father is there. You know, I mean, it's all over the place. That's where God is going to help us to stem that tide in Jesus' name. The condition of keeping all the laws, the statutes, and the commandments are vital to be able to achieve these Old Testament blessings of entering the promised land. But thank God. Let's say thank God. Thank God. When we switch the type in the New Testament, this promised land is the perfection and the fullness of Christ that a believer is to aspire and to enter into. That is our own promised land. Amen? When we get to that place where sin completely cleansed out, after our spirits, when we get born again, then out of our souls, out of our bodies, over years, cleansing perfection, then manifesting perfection, then we're established under the borrowed anointing of fathers over us. We'll come to that until we come to a place where we now inherit even our own. Then we're in that promised land. Amen. And that's where, you know, our aim should be. But what I say we should thank God for, I mean, if you are in the Old Testament, God said, and he said it clearly, carefully, all my statutes, all my commandments, all my laws, and there are many. There is a book, you know, of Leviticus, there is a book of Numbers, all those things are just chock full of statutes, laws. In February, where do you want to start? But thank God for a better covenant, a new testament based on better promises and based on a simpler condition. The condition now is love. Love is the fulfillment of the law, the entire law. You know, so God, you know, Pastor Cody said it beautifully. You know, God will give you the answer, give you the exam, and clap for you for passing. I mean, God has taken us from the Old Testament. If you look at it, it's crunchy. Okay, you see all these laws and things I said, just look at love. If you do love, I think we should just commit ourselves and say, let's go for love. Amen. God has made it easy. God has made it easy. You know, if you compare it to the Old Testament, God, you know, is that love of God. I want you to qualify. I want you to enter the promised land. Forget the bulls. Forget the this. Forget the that. Forget the Sabbath. Forget these ones. Although there are types and a shadow. Just do love now. Amen. Just do love now. Amen. So let's see quickly some scriptures that just confirm that. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 8. Let's start from verse 8. Romans. But to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Hallelujah. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Verse 2. Verse 9, sorry, second verse. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandments, all the things we saw, you know, in Deuteronomy 8 and 28, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The next verse, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, let's say together, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. So if you do and get love right, you fulfill all the conditions for entering the promised land, and you enter it. So the perfecting of love is the entering into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. It gives us something that we can use, measure, and work at to get into that end point where we have the perfection and fullness of Christ manifested in us. Hebrews chapter 8, this is very briefly, verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the Father in majesty. Again, we see God, this is talking about love and this New Testament. The new covenant is established. Jesus has died, and then he's set as the high priest to go and pray for us to make sure that we qualify. Let's give God a clap offering. A foolproof system. Well, it should be foolproof. I mean, we have our wills, our choices, but a system that has been designed to make you pass. You know, it's not the Old Testament. There are so many things. This one is like simple. Focus on love. And guess what? To enter into that love, I'm setting a high priest. The person who shed his blood is now seated at the right hand, ensuring, ever living to make intercession for you. Touch with the feeling of your infirmities. Everything you can think you're going through, he has been through it. Every wilderness experience and hardship and hard time you think you're going through, he has gone through it. Amen? There's also a comforter who has been sent. Jesus is praying, oh, this double-edged sword. Jesus is praying at the right of the Father. A comforter is sent on earth to come and be resident Lord on earth. Amen? To comfort you, to encourage you, to teach you and to show you things to come, to put in remembrance of things. Again, a system to guarantee to make us succeed. God will grant us must to be faithful and enter this success in Jesus' name. Verse 7, I think is where it will end. Hebrews, you can go to verse 7. I think I'll have that. Yeah. Okay, no. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place should have been found for the second. Okay. Please, verse 8. Sorry.
I'm having to learn to how to use the board at the back. Okay, well, what I'm trying to go is that it's a covenant based on better promises because of the high priest, you know, that we have. And it's somewhere further down along that line, you know, in Hebrews 8. So we see that keeping the commandment of love is the condition that we need to keep in the New Testament for us to enter into the promised land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Because in love, we see that we enter into God. Amen. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John 4. I can't remember who it was. You know, said how maybe once a week or so frequently they'll go and read 1 John. You know, particularly for just to keep it going, you know, in their mind. Say, you know, this is where God breaks it down so clearly. 1 John chapter 4. Let's start from verse 7. We could start from earlier on, but just to save time. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. Verse 9. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen? We ought also to love one another. Verse 17 and 18, just to save time. Love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So we see the scripture that says, where love is perfected, then you are like God, because God is love. And it's not in the heaven after you die. It's one of those scriptures that let us know that the perfection work is for now. It's on this side of God. It's on this side of, you know, eternity. Again, it says, yes, 17b, because as he is, so are we where? In this world. So it's something that we should aspire to in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we see that the love of God is there, and we see there is a perfecting of the love of God. So we can start loving, but there's a place where our love is made perfect. Amen? So it's a progressive thing. It's not something that we're going to immediately achieve. It's a lifetime thing that we go through, and we develop that love of God over years, and we keep on going at it, and we keep on going at it, and we keep on going at it until we get it. Even if he tarries, wait for it. Amen. Don't think, oh, this thing that we have been saying and we've been doing, I'm not seeing the fruit. Stay consistent. Stay, you know, in patience. You know, one of the things of love. Keep on making those confessions, making your prayers, using the blood, you know. And I just briefly reminded us, how do we perfect the love of God in our lives? By the blood, the word, and the spirit. The blood, the word, and the spirit. Very quickly, just as an echo, Hebrews 13. Verse 20 and 21. Hebrews 13. Let me learn to turn. Is it quicker? Now the God of peace that brought again. Let's read together. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. If you're somebody who breaks in between verses, you won't see that connection. So let's go back to verse 20. Everything that we read in verse 21, the last part of verse 20 says, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So it is through the blood that the things we're going to describe happen now. Back to verse 21. Make you perfect. So how are you going to get perfect? Through the blood. Amen? It's going to be through the blood. Without the blood, there's no perfecting. In every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Why do we need the blood? Because there's sin. There's sin that needs to be cleansed. So in your growing, in your walking, and in your trying to perfect the love of God, there will be mistakes, there will be wrongdoings, and that is why Jesus came. He made his blood available to us so that we could use it. Again, is a setting where you say he has helped us to pass the exam. He didn't have any blood. He had to operate in that period sinless. Sinless. There's nothing to fall back on. But with us, there is more than a fall back on. In fact, it's to be used aggressively, if I can use that expression. It's to be used constantly, because there is sin of omission, there is sin of commission. There is no, you are either not doing all you need to do, or you are not doing something in faith, or you that know that to do good and doesn't do it. There is sin here and there, And mommy taught us that thing a long time ago, the table cleansing. Let's say you had an automated system here that had a duster or something that, every 30 seconds just did. Every time you come, it'll be clean. That's how the blood should be with us. Father, we confess our sins frequently. Father, I confess our sins. Not because you are being sin conscious. No, because you're being righteous conscious. Amen. Amen? Amen? People always say, why do you confess your sins so much? This is condemnation. You'll be feeling guilty. It's a lie of the devil. Satan uses his remote control to make them think the wrong thing. Why are you looking at it through that spectrum? Why are you looking at it through the one of, nothing is condemning you. You're doing it for righteousness' sake. So I keep on saying, Father, I confess my sins in Jesus' name, I have life. Amen. Then pastor stepped us up, having the liberty, forgiveness, one, cleansing, two, the third part, a guilty conscience. So you can come boldly before God in faith. How many times we don't apply our faith to that aspect, and then we are trying to come before God, and sometimes we don't even know what it is. We're just crippled or hobbled, and we're not able to come confident. Is it that we should sin and be flippant? No. But the blood was given to make room for us and for our mistakes. So when we sin, let's run to God. Let's not try and prove to God, well, I'm not so bad, Use the whole system, hook, line, and sinker, forgiveness, cleansing, and a purging, so you can come boldly before God. Because if we're not bold before God, we won't be operating in faith. It becomes a vicious cycle. Because of sin, you're not coming before God, you're not operating in faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. You can't go forward. We really have to get this aspect of when we fall, run to God, understand His love, in sincerity, truly repent, but also use that cleansing, that liberty. That's what it's for. You're not being humble when you do it. You're not being humble when you say, I just want to feel bad. I just want to, yes, that's, if that's self-pity and that's your own, it's a false humility. I'm waiting for you to move. There's another project we are working on. Get up and go. Get up and go. Come before me. Satan is planning his own. Let's move on. Amen. I pray like that in a way, God is waiting for us to move on. Move on, move on. You've confessed, that's what I made the blood available. I am the one who made the blood available. So why are you disturbing yourself more than me? I made the blood available. Use it and move on. Amen? Use it and move on. Because we need the blood. There is no way we're going to get there without the blood. And using the blood very, 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 very frequently and effectively. So just make up your mind up front, I'll be using the blood. Amen? Father, we confess our sins in Jesus' name. And the more you use it, the less you will need to have those condemnation things. Amen. So we perfect the love of God by the blood, by the word. Ephesians 5:25. Just touching on these ones, just to complete. Ephesians 5:25. So we've seen how perfection and the blood are connected. We've seen how the word. Verse 25. I can turn around. Thank you. Husbands, love your wives. Let's read together. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of the water by the word. So how is the church cleansed? How is the church perfected? By the washing of the water by the word. We're going to come to the water, later on as the life of God. But through the word, that life comes through and life is ministered and brings us to a place of cleansing. We want to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Then let's see the spirit. Pastor Ibrahim. 1 John 2:5. Let's go to 1 John 2:5. Can we look at that, please? 1 John chapter 2. Beautiful. Thank you, sir. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Amen. This one even encapsulates it even beautifully. Thank you, sir. Okay, so we see the word here and perfection tied together. We are inferring it in the other one I chose to use, but this is the one that's even doing more justice to it. Whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily, truly, is the love of God perfected. You keep the word of God, the commandments of God, the word of then in you, the love of God is going to be perfected, and in that love of God, you are like God. Praise the Lord. The Spirit, Jude chapter 20 and 21. Pastor Ibrahim preached out of this so beautifully. Jude 20 and 21. Okay. But beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Okay, we're not going to teach, you know, on this. We're just reminding ourselves that the scriptures that support how we perfect the love of God in our lives by the blood, the word, and the spirit. So in this Jude, we see that we keep ourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's important. And then looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. Consciously, deliberately, always looking for mercy. So you can get life on the outside. You know, not mercy when you are in trouble. Mercy where you are even strong. Mercy all the time. You know, all the time. All the time. So bless you, Pastor Bramber. You know, many times you think, keep myself in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep myself in the love of God. Mm-mm. Looking actively. Looking. Start looking for where can I get mercy? If you want to get something, I'm going ahead of myself. How do you get more something that you want? You look for it. You plant it. If you want more okra, you plant okra seeds. You can't want all okra seeds and then you plant tomato. You get tomato. If you want mercy, plant mercy. Sow mercy. Look for opportunities to sow mercy. Sow mercy. Sow mercy. Sow mercy. It sounds like an Ibadoman saying show mercy. Sow mercy. Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. Sow mercy. Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Please, let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit. Amen. So the perfection in verse 12 is by his spirit. We know that we dwell in him because of that love. Again, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, remember all the things we said, love one another, because God loves, we should love. God dwelleth in us. God is becoming, we are becoming like God. And his love is perfected in us. This is the promised land, perfecting love in us. Verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit. So by that spirit, we're able to come to a place of love and also even perfecting that love. By the spirit, we're also, we went on there, we're able to get a revelation of how to walk in that love. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's turn there very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because I don't know exactly, how many, 6 or 7. You know, where it talks about, you know, it's by this spirit. You know, Pastor Kuni preached on that recently, whereby everything has to be by revelation. Amen? Yes. Verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, our perfecting of love, okay, our becoming like Christ, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10 is the punchline. But God, let's read together, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches out all things, yea, the deep things of God. What are the deep things of God? The deep things of love. Amen. For God is love. So how are you going to get the deep things of God and of love? By the Spirit. It's not just, you know, a human kind of love. It's a love, because it says the first thing is wisdom. It's the principal thing. And that comes by revelation. It's not, oh, I'm a nice person, I do nice things. You know, there's a place where the wisdom is to rebuke. It's not to be nice, it's not to palliate, it's a sharp rebuke to get you, check yourself, what's the matter? You know, why are you feeling sorry for yourself? What have you done? You've only done what you've been commanded to do. Move. Amen. Sometimes God is doing that. Thank you, mommy. I got that this morning. Amen. Thank you. You know, move. You've only done what you've been commanded to do. Don't think you have done so much. Praise the Lord. Mommy and I know we're talking in code. Okay. Thank you, ma. Amen. You know, praise the Lord. And so we see how we need to perfect the love of God, you know, by the blood, the word, and the spirit, and how this perfecting this love is related to cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Just very quickly, man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. Okay? That revelation must be clear. It must be something that we're working in, you know, real fundamental, foundational thing. Man is three parts. So it's going to explain why there are conflicts sometimes, and why things, you know, but it also lets you see where we need to be putting emphasis. When we get born again, our spirit man gets born again. Okay? That's the first part. But that spirit man has got to grow, mature, and be pushing out life into the soul so that the mind is renewed. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Okay? The will is becoming more like the will of God, completely submitted to God. The emotions are being tempered by the fruit of the Spirit. The mind is being enlightened by the life of God to see things the way God sees them. Okay? Then eventually, start pushing it into the body. The redemption of our body. Pushing out that sin. The desires of the body more and more, you know, free from sin. The things that would have disturbed the body before, no effect. You know, that sin level is going down, it's going down, it's going down. It takes time. There are generational things that are in some, in all these things. The mind, the way of thinking, there are ethnic things. There are things in the strongholds, Babanla strongholds, you know, really heavy ones, Iroko trees, you know. So it takes time. That's why it takes time. So it's not something you can do for 2 days or do for 1 week and get tired because you share more. You stay with it. You stay with it over years. And God is faithful. He's a suru tuleri. Amen. You will see blade. You will see some changes. Be encouraged in that. You know exactly, sir. White stone. The name will be showing bit by bit. There are still other flaws, but be encouraged that he who has started is going to see you through. He will perfect it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at how the plan he has devised. That's why I said that was what I was sharing earlier on. He has devised such a plan with such comfort, encouragement to make us pass. So he's on our side. He's on my side. He's on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? Nothing. Eh? It was preached recently. The only thing that can be against you is you. All that, in all principalities. When you come to that place, Oluwa ami, ema ba mi she. I will submit, I will do. I will make mistakes, I will run to you. Except you change from that, nothing will stop you. They will try. Satan will do this, do that, do that. But if you keep to your own side, Oluwa ami, ema ba mi she, mama make ye. I will make it. I will make it. I will be a participator. I will not be a spectator. In Jesus' name. You know, and when you see yourself spectating, oh yeah, move. I'm a participator. And keep on going to God. Use the blood. Use the blood. Use the blood. Amen. So we keep ourselves in love of God by cleansing out sin for the sin nature from our souls and body. We spoke about praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's see, again, just an important part of the Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit in something that the Lord Jesus said. John 7, verse 37. John 7. So we've seen that we get born again. The spirit man has life, but he's a baby. Okay, that's another thing. Apart from spiritual and body, in your spiritual development, there's also baby, little child, young man, and adult. Okay? And it's a function of what you are doing with your spirit that determines where you move. So it's not, I've been 20 years a Christian, I must be a father by now. It's not like that, they do father. It's what have you been doing with the word? What have you been doing with the blood? What have you been doing perfecting with the spirit? Perfect love of God. That's what determines whether your capacity is increasing or whether it's not increasing. Not a question of time. So, but we need to realize, I've got to grow. So you may be enjoying some blessings, but the blessings are the blessings of the baby stage. Isn't it time to move on and be a little child? Isn't it time to move on and let your capacity become a young man? Move on and be a father. Only under God. You know, but the idea is be motivated to move on and make progress and not just stand still and be happy and enjoy those blessings. John 7:37, we're there. Let's say together, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Next verse. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. So we see that Jesus is talking about rivers of living water flowing out. And it's going to be by the Spirit. I'm just taking us to see this thing about the blood, the word, and the Spirit. It's the Spirit that I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying with groanings, that helps us to come to a place where rivers of living water come out. Those rivers of living water are meant to come out of our spirit, go into our souls. Deal with those strongholds. Deal with that wrong way of thinking. That will that keeps on vacillating in that area. You know, and the more we pray, the more we should do, you know, those prayers, I'm finding there is a sharp sword. You know, there are prayers that this one is direct at the will. So when you pray, believe where that prayer is going. That's the condition I want us to see. Okay, can we back up one verse? There's a condition that is hidden here that God puts. He says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So there's a condition. You must believe. Thank you, sir. You pray believing. Amen. You pray believing so that you are not blank. You know, a pastor teaches that. Don't keep your mind blank. You know, pray. You know, and there's something he's taught us that I believe this is what is describing. When we're praying praying in tongues or praying, you know, by the help of the Holy Spirit, it's not us praying. The Holy Spirit is praying through us. And the Holy Spirit is not praying of himself, because he will not speak of himself. He will only speak what the Father and Son speak. So we have this triune conference. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying through the Holy Spirit, through us, as we pray to the Father. You need to be seeing that. You need to be seeing that. Because he says that's as the scripture. We don't have time to go into it and show where those scriptures are. But they're there. Okay? He doesn't speak of himself. He speaks what he says the Father say. You know? And so that picture, you know, Pastor used to say, he says it's not an imagination, it's a reality. That is the reality of what's happening. So what does it mean to believe? Believe means accept as an act of your will, that it is presently true. So when you pray, accept that as I'm praying now, it's not me praying. It's Jesus praying through the Holy Ghost through me. How can I feel? How can I feel? How can I feel? Amen? The source that is coming from is foolproof. Rivers of living water flow when you follow that pattern. We'll see other things. There are conditions that you must also be doing, like we've been taught, mercy, love, forgiveness, you know, other things to make it, you know. But the condition of who is doing the praying has been set. The exam board that said the exam came to do it for you. Amen? Yes, we are to grow, we are to exert ourselves. It's not whether you make noise with it, whether you don't make noise with it. Are you believing when you pray? Are you believing when you pray? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ praying through the Holy Spirit, who is praying, that is the one that rivers of living water flow out of. Amen? He that believeth as the scripture has said. That's how the scripture says, out of his belly will flow rivers. Is a flood. That's when you get the flood. That's when you get an abundance of the life of God. We'll switch that aspect of the message very soon. The abundant life is an abundance of Zoe, the life of God. We've looked at it from the land, and we now see how the life of God helps us to enter into that land. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the important condition of believing is vital, and you know, that's one thing we must take away tonight. You know, when you pray, check yourself. It's not moi moi gari time. Am I seeing in my eyes, am I accepting as that of will, this arrangement that the scripture says occurs when I'm praying, and I pray believing? Because you can go through all that motion. You know, the way the God puts it, you know, there is unbelief. You don't even agree with what the thing I said. There is a mode that is non-belief. It's a sleep mode. Is that when the video or all the electronics goes into a sleep mode? It's on, but it's not on. They say it's power saving. It's the other way, you can't see anything. It's power saving, but you don't want to save power. You want more power. So don't put it in a sleep mode. Put it fully on. Amen? So it's not enough to know the scripture says so. When you pray, believe. Pray seeing that reality.
pray with that reality in the back of your mind. Yes, you've got to be talking to you about other things, but let that be anything constantly there. It's not me. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying through the Holy Spirit, through me, as I pray now. Praying perfect prayers. If you believe it, this prayer thing is a mind thing. If I'm praying and I believe Jesus is praying through the Holy Spirit through me and he's praying the thing perfectly, I will get those results. Somebody else doesn't believe, he won't get those results. It's just, what are you doing with your mind? The battleground is the mind. What's going on in your mind? Yes, we exert ourselves. What's going on in your mind? Are you believing? Are you seeing the reality as the scripture says? So rivers can flow. It's believing that triggers the rivers. Not the loudness, not the singing. Are you believing? That's what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. Rivers of living water. So these rivers of living water, okay, I put a note here. Let's remember the importance of looking for the mercy of God unto eternal life. I shared about that, Pastor Ibrahim, you know, called to our attention in Jude chapter 20, you know, and then rivers of living water. Very briefly, again, these are foundational things. The life of God is Zoe. We need to have a revelation of life. This comes again, praying in tongues, having spirit of wisdom and revelation, praying the Pauline prayers, okay, and believe when we pray. Again, believing for the life of God. The Bible talks about life scriptures, exceeding great promises, okay, we won't turn there because of time, you know, by this you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature. So you want to be like God, you want to be like love, those divine promises. So whoever tells you life and power scriptures is an Olubi Johnson doctrine. Just run from them. Amen. Don't let them put sunshine in your gari. You know, is a word from God. Exceeding good and promises. Pray from life scriptures. Have a revelation of it. When you are praying from them, believe as well. I'm guilty. I'm not finished it. Last time pastor said it, he hasn't come to ask us. Just pastors, you said the question. Tell you something, 2 months, 3 months, he hasn't asked. He said, go through the white book. Check each scripture that is referenced and go through it. You know, do it for the life and power scriptures, so that when we are praying from the life scriptures, each one of them means something to you. In Jesus' name, I have life. Father, give life to my spirit. See life going into your spirit. Father, strengthen me with might. The one that goes to your will, see it, believe it. You have to see. You must have a revelation. Otherwise, you'll be getting triples of the life when you should be getting a large measure. And one way to do it is to pray clearly and distinctly. In the understanding when you are praying in tongues. It's not tongue, you know, you're not hearing it. How can you say, you can't believe what you can't hear? I mean, you're not hearing yourself say anything. Say it loudly. Nobody will come and fight you. Sister, for me, I shouldn't pray so loudly. Bear, yeah. In Jesus' name, I have life. You know, pastor will say it a second time because he believes he didn't like the level at which people said, in Jesus, Father, we confess our sins. Hey, your guy is letting you know that. Don't let my eye change your boy. Hey, pray. Father, we confess our sins. You know, in Jesus' name, I have life. He's telling you, Sunni, you shouldn't sleep. The amount of life you receive is going to determine how much you can put out. So if you do sleep mode when they are drawing life, I'm not saying you won't pray. But God had a bigger plan. Took care. You know, Pastor Poyega said, you can't do more than that, because when they were drawing the water, you refused to draw. You can't give out what you didn't take in. So you want to give out a lot during the time of prayer, pray properly when we're drawing life. Clearly, say the words pastor is saying, see the life of God entering. Say to yourself, see it flowing. If you can't hear yourself, it means you've slept. It's a golden rule. You preach yourself. You know, come to lead his assessors. Then Bobby deal with you a few times. You know, you don't start sleeping. So once you don't hear yourself, and it does two things. It makes you pray properly, but it also keeps you awake. Amen. It works in two ways. So making sure you're hearing yourself, you're staying awake, amen, but it's also giving you a maximum boost of the life of God, amen, which also keeps you awake. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Rivers of living water, the life of God. You know, we shall have a revelation of life scriptures as we pray, so that we can partake of the divine nature. Let's go to John 10:10 as we start switching to this life of God. Abundant life is the topic. We've seen it as the land we should possess. But there's also an abundance of the life of God, Zoe. John 10:10. I can turn back. God is good to help me. The thief cometh not. Let's read together. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Why did Jesus come? To have a jeep? To have four houses in Lekki? To have a Pajero? To have a house in New York, California, San Francisco? No. This is his primary assignment. If he went for youth corps, this is the major thing he came to do. I am come. My coming is for this. That they might have life. And not only that, they might have more abundantly. Not just abundantly, more abundantly. Wamakashantaya. Have life. And they might have it more abundantly. If you're not having life more abundantly, you're not yet letting Jesus' coming fulfill its maximum in you or in me. I've got to work on making sure, am I working at the level of abundance? An abundance of the life of God. Links to what we're saying, the first piece is when we're drawing that life, draw it properly. Draw it properly. But then, there are also other things that help us to get that life. But we see that that's what Jesus came to do. So how do we fulfill it? Access to abundance is only through fathers who have the appropriate capacity. Pastor started teaching us about this united prayer. You know, one will put 1,000, two will put 10,000. But some people are one, some people are 10. At least start where you are. But God knows how he collects all the one ones, the 10, and everything. But guess what? If you behave yourself, you submitted to those in authority, you'll be using their capacity. It's open. Their heart is open towards us. My heart is not constrained. So if your capacity is 10, but your oversight has capacity of 1,000. Borrow me credit now. And they don't take surcharge of 50 naira like MTN or Glue. You know, those ones, they borrow you 500. Oku 50 naira. Oh, as you want my your 50 over here. Conscious of it. You know, but with oversight, it's of it. Hallelujah. It's open. It's an access they've left. If they go to sleep, they leave it open. It's like those old days in Lagos where nobody locked their gates. You know, you can stroll in. If they are somewhere else, just go in and say, hey, daddy, life there. My fellow capacity there. Submitted, fully submitted. The fear of God, reverence, but secondly, taught us something beautiful. Deuteronomy 10:12. Okay? You know, to reverence them, to walk with them, to love them, to serve them. Amen? We keep all those things. The access is there. Even when they don't know you're coming to take, you know, after some time, yeah, your children are so close. You know, I mean, as I grew older, I was wearing my father's shoes, and you know, daddy would like batai ya o ti le wo ile yo. After some time, muti young cupboard muti wo. Larry, o ma jo temi, mo ye ni o. Oh lolly, you know, praise the Lord. I mean, say that like, but where the access is there is open. Come in. And take, come in and use. You know, they have, and as you take from them and use, guess what? God replenishes them even the more. So they want you to come and use. They want you to come and access. They want you to come and take it. Their heart is open. What's going to happen? The more of their capacity that you are using under the borrowed anointing, the quicker you will grow. The less the burden. You too will start carrying some more things. So it's a free thing. It's open. You know. And it works both for the people who are proximal and the people who are distal. We see that in the life of Jesus and his disciples. Amen. The ones who were close by, send them out, and they enjoyed the thing. Yes, we see that we went out in your name and everything, you know. And then they came back and said, we saw somebody, we rebuked him sharply. Kilo unshi, you're not one of us. You're not following us. Let's turn there. It's an important scripture to look at. Okay, so I'm talking about how we can access from. So at that stage, the proximal, I'm using medical, proximal and distal, the people who are in the inner circle, okay, were drawing on it. Okay, but somebody else who was not supposed to circle also had access. So it was open. And Jesus didn't, you know, I'm not sure if Jesus knew the specific person. He knew he was operating something that, Lord, anybody whose heart is right, alone, that's God's idea. Jacob is available. Tapping. You know, his heart is right. That's why he can get it. Let's look at it in Mark. It's both in Luke and in Mark. I think Mark chapter 9. It's Mark 9. It's Luke 9. Thank you, sir. I think 39 to 40. And let's do Mark. I think Mark is the one that. Mark chapter 9. Mark. Now, even in Ibadan, Mark doesn't sound like Deuteronomy. It's Mark
So even in Lagos, Mark doesn't sound like the economy. I must stop using Ibadan. I've lived in Ibadan for too long. My brother, Riwafi, our landlord, me. Omo Eko, mommy, Mimi Pin. Okay. So I'm getting at the Lagos people now. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you. Oh, Mark, where are you? No, not Mark 9. Okay, sorry, my fault. I didn't give them the verse. 38, 39, 40. That was my fault. Mark 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. And Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can slightly speak evil of me. Next verse. For he that is not against us is on our part. We're in the same team. Amen? We're in the same team. The problem here was competition. Let's back up. 39, 38 again. Okay? Something, you know, God just struck my heart. And we need to watch out. We're on the same team. Don't try and outdo me. I'm trying to outdo you. I'm trying to stop you. I don't want you to go so far. Marco Jamio, as long as you are paying me lower, Oda, but you know, you mustn't be ahead of me. You know, and God doesn't work like that. How did this conversation start? If you go to the, just to save time, it started with them saying who was the greatest. I'll just say it. You know, we can check when you get home. Okay, let's go. Let's check it. 33. Okay, let's go back to 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed amongst yourselves by the way? Verse 34, but they held their peace. I will need your more. Well, it's a fog, who is going to be the greatest? I fear more. It's me, it's not you. You know, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest, but Oga knew their heart. Well, sausage, Oga, you know, a little bird was just prepared. Omo Yisha. I'm teaching this, they want to know who's going to be the greatest. Next verse. And he sat down and he called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Okay, the spirit of what I'm trying to regard. Don't, you're not struggling for his greatest, be a servant. Let that life be coming through you for everybody, you know, and everything. You know, and it's instructive, you know, thank God, because I believe God put it there for us to see as an encouragement. No matter the infirmities, those old grave clothes, if you've had competition in the past, you can get rid of it. You know who got rid of it here? John. John, the apostle of love, had a problem with competition. I know Ufibo. God showed us the report card. James and John, what did they say? Mommy, Ewa ba, Jesus Oro. We should sit on his left and right. They weren't hiding it. They were ambitious to a fault. The competition was out. Mommy comes to this church, your mommy doesn't come. Mommy, Efo, Efenusi, Jesu Agbo, Eshawa, and Biawa, Colas, Wiki, Omawa, Muyawa, Fort One Year, almost every day, Muyawa, oh, yeah, Mommy, and by Jesus or Kuli Korole, do ye? Thank God is Jesus. Do you know? Let's go back to 38. How do we know it was John? Of all the people, they didn't say the disciples, though. John answered. John was the person who was having problems. He said, he didn't even ask Jesus permission. He saw the guy and he gave himself authority. I forbid you. You know, you're outside again, trying to increase the number of people, you know, and it was working. You know, the man did it and didn't work. But I said, foolish man, you think it's like that? Is he Gary? Is he Beans? The thing worked. You know, they forbade him. You get my point. If it didn't work, they would have ignored him and made fun of him. They worked. So that, I'm not about to shame. Don't try it again. What's that? You tried to move ahead of the two remaining 10 people. At too many 13. It's easier to overtake 10 people. Don't come and be 13. I forbid you. An idea has Jesus' permission. Competition is in the heart. So you don't want people to get to where you have got to. You don't mind them growing as long as they don't go beyond a particular Koshama lane. God will have mercy. It's not a Christ-like spirit. We didn't go through it. Talking about love, esteem your brethren as better than yourself. We read it every morning. It's one of the prayers that we pray, that you consider and pray and check, can I really believe that? Can I want somebody go pray better, go lead better, go she better in the profession that you and she go ahead. I can esteem him better. I can pray when he's doing well and pray and really pray. But that thing he's doing, let more grace go. That thing that it is time to do it, let him do it extraordinarily. Let them be singing his praises that, this guy is the one in the office who is doing this and is doing this and is doing that, you know, rather than thinking, Jesus, where the jacket she, you know, really esteem the other better. And we learned that example from Jesus. The person that has the thing, Jesus says, I will pray for you. Greater works than I did, you will do. Anthony Nkwen, the person who originated the original thing, is praying for us to do greater works. And we can't pray for our own brethren to be better than us. It's not just greater in numerical, greater in quality. He's not fighting with God. Why did you let me come at this time? I should have come when it was time for technology. It's nothing. It's for everything. It's for the team. That thing we read at the end. We are all on the same side. He who is not against us is for us. The thing the person is doing, is it for God's side? If it's God's side, God is winning. Let him get better. Let him go better. Let him increase. Let him abound. Let God teach him more. After if God teaches him more, he'll come and teach you. It's a false thing to think that, you know, if somebody gets better, that is to your disadvantage. If I pray for X to be better than myself, from my heart, and I really pray like that, my heart has I've settled it, and pray for X to be better than myself. It behoves that when X becomes better than myself, he's going to naturally pray for me to be better than him. Do you get that? It's a multiplier effect that God has set in the system. If he hasn't gotten to where he's praying for me to be better than him, he pray for Tony. Because if I'm really praying it properly, he too should get to that place where what he's seen is that, Kenny, you know, Kono, Kojami, Joe. So I'm saying, bros, Ekojami. Bros is saying, you want to Ekojami? A lot of us are moving in leaps and bounds. In leaps and bounds. Multiplying each other. We're not trying to stop each other. We're not trying to be better than each other. We're not trying to make each other feel, just stay at this level. Mm-mm. Be better than me. Be better than me. When you are better than me, you will pray for me to be better than you. And then when I'm better than you, I'll pray for you to be better than me. And we'll be going from better to better to better to better. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So access is through the fathers who have this higher capacity, and we can tap from them. We shouldn't compete. Okay, the access is available to all of us. Access is also to abundance is also only in a corporate body by the corporate anointing. Two important things. The fathers, because your capacity is so small, you have a unit of one, it takes a long time for you to build up to that level. But when you stay under their covering, they allow you to use the borrowed anointing, then you are using their 900 or their 800. It's not yours, you just borrowed it to use. But there's also a place where it's in a corporate setting because of United Prayer and Spirit that multiplying. But I think Pastor told us when he said, God said, tell him to minister to people and say, look, this United Prayer in the Spirit, let's start. And just say, pray for the Spirit of God to be released without measure. But you put out your 100, God will concatenate. Pastor Bill has used that word. I've never got to catch the dictionary. Concatenate. You know, and increase, you know, and to become bigger, you know, because God, the Bible says, one put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000, 300,000, 4,000,000, 5,000, 6,000. I thought you follow it. After some time, you can't measure it again. Innumerable, immeasurable, an abundance. What we started with, that's the definition of an abundance. It multiplies and is a reality. Again, it comes to believing. If we are praying, and one person's mind says, how many of us here? 1,000, even if it's not 1,000, whatever the equivalent is, and believes as he's praying that there is a multiplier effect that is producing an innumerable amount, an innumerable measure. What he's doing, believing, is producing for him, or for what the body is praying about. It's a shame if somebody else who is in that setting, not applying their mind to that thing, is not allowing the bigger addition. So we owe it to the body when we come together to pray in this mode as well, believing. Just as we believe in life scriptures, just as we believe in the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying through the Holy Spirit through us, we also ought to believe consciously and deliberately. Consciously. That's what believing, because you know, yes, you know it in the back, but when we pray, are you believing? When we say let's pray together, united in the Spirit on Sunday, are you believing that? Because we are in a greater setting. You know, we're in a corporate setting. This is more than what I can get at home. There's a greater multiplication. And on Sunday, it happens at the initial worship. It happens when we come to pray after the first message. And it's a shame if you only come for one dose. So if you've been coming late consistently, you have been missing one opportunity to do united corporate praying in the Spirit. There is no condemnation. Use the blood. Use the blood. But if something is available twice in one Sunday to produce innumerable, immeasurable, why are you only coming at 10:30 to take one? Come before 9 and collect. Yes, one dose, Esholua. Yeah, 10 o'clock, at your 20, thank you. You know, and keep on going and keep on going. Kole Boju. In fact, we are still working on it to produce the right things we want. So the level still needs to come up. God will help us in Jesus' name. So you need to be in a corporate body and pray believing in that corporate body so you get an unlimited, abundant measure of the life of God. This life of God is, you know, Pastor Peter briefly, the fuel the generator uses. So when you pray, you're releasing it and it will go into wisdom. It will go into, you know, just like the fuel, the diesel is not electricity. It's not a cold drink. It's not the air conditioner. It's not DSTV. But it's the raw material that gives power to produce all those things. So also, that abundant life is what you need. If you can join and be releasing it in a great measure, will produce so many things, you know. And what God dropped in my heart, you know, Pastor said it, and if you're not careful, Satan is a terrible, you know. Pastors, when we are praying that thing once a week, pray with, you know, love, mercy, forgiveness, you know, that attitude must be there. Pray, know that other people are praying, and God is uniting the prayers, you know. Yes, you know, it happens when you are praying for release of the Spirit to that measure. But do you know that potential is also there when you are praying for any other thing? Every prayer we pray together is available. So we should be exercising it all the time. We should be praying, believing prayers every time we pray together. This time of prayer, because I'm in a corporate setting, there's a greater amount of power available. It's not just my prayers. I'm tapping into how many people are here. I don't even know the number. So God, you know the number. Amen. And sometimes God is the one who knows the number. Elijah found this out. God had his reserve. This was Elijah who knew that, don't worry, I will lay the wood in order. He knew the order. If I pour water on it, it won't disturb it. And if I pour 3 measures, the thing will overflow the trenches. The God I know will cause fire to come down. And fire came down. I don't know the details, but somehow or the other, he does that, gets the prophet, kills them. And this one woman says, by tomorrow you will die. And he runs. I thought he had done, you know, I don't even understand that area, so I'm not trying to preach on it. But I would have thought it would be like Jehu, who is on the Lord's side. Throw her down. You know the same thing happened to Jehu. When he arrived, this same Jezebel painted her face. Jehu, are you a juicy there? He just was there. Throw her down. Use the horse, trampled her. You know, but for some reason, Elijah, no doubt, I know Elijah knew God. I mean, you couldn't have done all those things, set things in order, types of his knowledge of God. But for some reason, he didn't have the thing to stand against Jezebel. I'm being honest. Revelation is continuous and progressive. I don't understand it. God will explain to me. But I know that God had to tell him, Matthew Rube, everybody has died. I'm the only one. I mean, in all of his things, he thought, I'm the only one left. They've killed all your prophets. Relax. You know, there are 7,000. That's not a small number. 7,000. Now, the typology, I'll come back to it. Typology when we pray now is to believe that there are 7,000 that God has hidden. So when we pray, it's not only those of us who are here. You know, we are trying to count how many of us are saying 10, 100, 1,000, then 100,000, 1 million, 10 million, and then by 5, we're already stuttering because we didn't know how to count the next million. Apart from those of us who are gathered, you can also tap into others that are reserved in places. You go beyond borders and you tap into the unlimited power of God. Amen? We're not limited by borders. So it's not only those of us who are praying here that Sunday when we are praying. Everybody, wherever they are, all over the world, believe it. It's just what you believe. If more of us choose to believe it, you have a greater, more will happen. It's not what we see, but just believe and say, okay. So, our tower multiplied. Our tower in China multiplied. At 4 o'clock in China, I won't come pray, worry, multiplied. And 2 a.m., whatever the time zone is, there are people praying somewhere or the other. So we go beyond borders, it's in our prayers. We go beyond borders, we tap into the unlimited abundance. It's unlimited power. So we go beyond borders and tap into that. Amen. So let's tap into God's reserve. Again, God must be God. So for all of knowing God, like Elijah did, God holds some cards close to his chest. Okay, that's a card game or a poker game. You know, when you're playing cards, you don't want them to peep into your thing. So there are some things where, as we know God, as we think we've come to know him, there are some things that God is keeping close to his chest. For whatever reason he knows. I mean, he just knew 7,000 people. This one we are praying now that I described, we are, you know, using our faith and saying beyond borders. This 7,000 is a literal number. Elijah would have run into them. God didn't show him. We know God has said it now. He said, God has hid this thing from me. For some reason, they won't say the right thing in front of Elijah. They look, I don't know why, but God just let him. He didn't see 7,000 people. It wasn't 7. It wasn't 10. It was a significant number. God just kept in reserve. So God's plan is going on. You can't hold him to ransom. It's this humbling thing that we stayed with. As God promotes us, as we enter more of the promised land, God can't do anything. I'm the only one. We won't get there. We won't do that in Jesus' name. But like I said at the beginning, those things are written there. It means it's possible. So the humbling thing is that if I misbehave, Lord, I call you a joker. This, I told you, stop it. You're not stopping it. Oh, yeah. Papa Ram said it. He retired. I don't understand it all. He just said, okay, go and anoint this person. Go and anoint Elisha in your stead. From that day onwards, it was a, you know, terminal leave. Come, show Elisha some things. He's going to take over, you know, and so on and so forth. We'll finish in Jesus' name. We will not retire prematurely in Jesus' name. All the things that God has called us to, we will fulfill in Jesus' name. God will find no reason to bring out a special reserve because we are falling short on our own side in Jesus' name. Amen. So the rule of united praying in the Spirit, love, mercy, and forgiveness. We should use it when we are praying for ourselves. When you are praying your morning prayer, consciously be thinking, am I operating love, mercy, and forgiveness? Is there anybody? You know, because there is a way to think on those things when you're doing that united thing. Your 30 minutes a week or whatever you've assigned yourself to do, or 1 hour, you know. I mean, thank God for mommy, after Pastor shared that day, you know, mommy can, whatever you can do. But whatever you're doing, it's not only for that time period of reasons without measure. When you are praying the morning prayer, add it, have that mentality. You know, let that mentality be in you. I'm praying united in the Spirit. Other people, 7,000, I'm joining them. We are using the maximum amount of energy. So when you start in the morning and say, in just in five life, I choose to fear God. I humble myself. I submit to do the will of God. That's dealing with your will. Don't just use your capacity. Borrow from daddy upstairs. Use his capacity, the abundance of the fathers. Connect with other people who are praying at the same time. Then those that are not even proximal to you, distant to you, connect with them. So you are bombarding your will, not with what your capacity is. What your father's capacity is the concatenated capacity. Against your will. And those three minimum prayers, each one of them has something that it's doing. We need to focus and believe when we are praying them. The first one is for our wills. So you push and pray. You know, just like praying in tongues, pray strength. When you're praying, you know, rivers of living water want to flow. Why are you doing? You're letting it trickle. The problem with the will is a big problem. Self-willed, doing your own, is there. You need to give it a good dose to start that day. It's not for them to hear you, but for you to know that I'm giving it a full release. I'm not using a small 2 diameter, you know, plumbers know those things, water hose pipe. I'm using a fireman's hose, you know, where 8 men have to hold it because the force that it's coming out with is so much. Okay, so I've joined other people and all of us are holding a big hose and we are pushing it against our will. This will line up. The second one is spirit of wisdom and revelation. Light, enter my soul. Okay, we read that when we were in 1 Corinthians 2. Okay, that the spirit is the one that gives us that revelation. So push consciously that today I'll read my Bible. Lord have mercy, I'll do my daily Bible reading. I'll read my Bible and I'll receive light. I'll be looking at natural things that Pastor Kino was saying. I'll be doing my work, and God will be speaking to me revelation. I'm getting a reward for it. But that second prayer is for light. The third one is for love. Consciously love my brethren. You know, so each prayer, let it mean something. You know, it's not just to pray, I've done it, and you know, because you can mouth it, and you know, it's something is coming, don't get me wrong, but we're talking about maximizing our potential now. We're talking about rapid, accelerated spiritual growth and development by using an abundance of the life of God. Anytime we're releasing life, let it be full flow, maximal. Personal prayers, maximal. Nobody else is praying that prayer, don't worry, God is raising up people you don't know. I really mean that thing. So, you believe God. God is my problem. Oh, and raise other people. Because when you two pray, God is using your prayers for other people. Amen. So, why would you all believe that? When is your own turn? God, I'm believing that in Japan, in China, wherever other people are praying, and you are tapping into their prayers. Just as I've prayed diligently and provided when you are using for other people, I have sown mercy. I will reap mercy. Amen. That thing will shine. So take our prayer seriously. It's an opportunity to sow mercy. Pastor says it. Okay, that abundance. It seems like so much. It's a problem. 1 million, 100 million, trillion, zillion. Remember that we are giving life for the life of the world. Jesus died for the sins of the world. Our generation, we are releasing life. So life of things in the past, life of things happening, life of things to come. The 10:40 window that we open. China that will become, you know, a place where revival is taking place. The Indochina revival that we've not even begin to think about. They are still doing New Age and Nepal and all those things. Perfect church is going to be there. Every tongue, every tribe, every kindred, every people group is going to happen. So God is putting those prayers aside. God is, you know, God doesn't really. So just like Mary and Anna, Simon and Anna, they didn't do it in 1 week. Yes. It wasn't just for the birth. The birth, the after the birth, the circumstances of this and that, that's God. So God is also using our prayers to do many things, setting this in motion. But as you sow into God's purposes, you're sowing mercy. The pastor always tells us you're praying for saints and we're praying for all men. As you are sowing and praying diligently about that thing, in your own time of need, we'll also receive in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's encourage us to be diligent when we pray. We're praying for ourselves. So why do we need an abundance? Only an abundance of the life of God can deal adequately with the sin nature to produce the kingdom. We've spoken about that. Self-willed, stubbornness, argumentativeness, you know, deep things. Water hose is not going to do it. You need to push against it and deal with it. Letting an abundance of the life of God, you know, work against it. That's when you can enter the kingdom. What's the kingdom? The king's dominion. The king is Jesus. When the dominion of the character of Jesus dominates our souls, our minds, our wills, our emotions, our bodies. So then that's when we're in the kingdom. Only with a more than sufficient excess can individuals operate as saviors to the nations on Mount Zion. If there's no abundance, then you only have enough for yourself, barely. Like we said, if there's no abundance, it's not even enough for yourself. You need an abundance to enter the kingdom. So how much more to now be a savior that is giving to nations and giving to other people? So we need to be working on abundance if we're going to be participators of being saviors on Mount Zion. The person that has scarcity, there's no scarcity of fuel anymore in Jesus' name. You know when you have scarcity, when they say, you don't do any favors now. This week, your husband and wife start fighting. We confess, Lord, kiss sister, Gloria. There's no petrol. You know how long I queued to get that petrol? Just the body there before you go and call, and then God will now do it. Somebody in authority come and say, God will have mercy. The mind is renewing. But when we have abundance, petrol, I give you. Diesel, I give you. Engine oil, I give you. Anything you want, car, papa, take the car. No scarcity. It's multiplying. You have an abundance to give out. So God gives us this power. Like I said at the beginning, it's not for material things. It's a power to obtain wealth, to establish His covenant. That's what saviors of Mount Zion are doing. So that through the saviors of Mount Zion, they will be saviors to the nations. so that that nation Zion will be exalted above every other nation. And through the abundance that they have, they can minister that abundance and save the nations and be saviors to the nation. And this power to obtain wealth is not material things. Papa Rao said it beautifully. Wealth is anything money cannot buy. So this message is not, those ones about cars and everything, that's money, that's cash flow. The real wealth, what money can buy. A savior on Zion who, cooperating with other saviors, is reconfiguring the heavens over nations. That abundant life is changing the way they think there. All of a sudden, they said they were the Islamic Republic or something. Before they know it, they throw the Islamic down. Before they know it, okay, they can come and preach. Now, we may use some of our physical wealth, but the real work is not saying we will borrow you money. The real work is the changing the atmosphere, it's changing the spiritual convictions, change the heavens, and change there. So that heaven has been changed, you know, is the power that's a great wealth that we have when we can do that. Praise the Lord. So wealth is anything money can buy, spiritual reconfiguring heavens. How do we do this? Just quickly rounding up. How do we do this? Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. And the Lord said, let's read it together. We're rounding up. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now, nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Nothing will be restrained from them, because the people, pure language, speaking the same thing in unity. Unity is the key. Amen? When we are united, that's where love, mercy, and forgiveness flows. Amen? That's how we can get united. Where love for one another, praying for one another's love, that's something else the pastor has taught us, you know, that we need to exercise. Apart from praying for your love to increase in our bound, that's, you know, some messages ago, Pastor Toto, I can't remember the exact time, I said, pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for your pastor. Pray for everybody you're connected with. Just as you feel, Father, may my love increase in abound yet more and more. Father, may always love for me, her husband, increase more and more in present complete knowledge, in all judgment, in all things. Father, may any Lord reach his love for me and her mother, increase and abound yet more and more in present complete knowledge, in all judgment, in all things. Father, may the people in the group, may their love for us increase and abound yet more and more. You now make yourself responsible for praying for other people's love. So if somebody is not loving you, it's not their fault, it's your fault. You haven't prayed enough. Put the onus on yourself. So when something happens, with an abundance of the life of God. Not, you know, the small two-square one that is not sufficient for yourself. You're not trying to use for Wi-Fi. It hasn't come out of your own to reach your soul. How much to extend? You need an abundance to get across to other people. But on a serious note, we can influence other people's love. Particularly those people that we're connected to, where there is a door and there is a connection. Anybody have a connection with, husband, wife, you can, you know, Pastor was saying it. Don't see the thing that you're seeing. See what God is seeing and pray what God is praying. That's what you are seeing in her and you're praying in her. That's what she's seeing in you and she's praying in you. If all of us start doing that, from our families to our connections in church, no competition. Nobody trying to slow anybody down. Go, carry, go as fast as you can. Pass. If God is doing that with you now, please, full speed ahead. I pray more for you. Amen. So love, praying each other for love to abound. Sowing mercy. I spoke about that in passing. Look for opportunities. Every prayer time is an opportunity to sow mercy. Then every time to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. All of us are going to need mercy. We can't do this work without mercy. So when the time comes and somebody misbehaves, you know, I'm not saying, I mean, there's a place to judge people, but when there's a chance to show mercy, show it quickly. You are doing yourself a good service. Ask David. The reason his children didn't kill him, because when it was Saul's time, he didn't kill Saul. Showed mercy to the house of Saul. God saw it now. Okay? So sometimes you can calm down. But okay, I know where the person is coming from. Infirmity, weakness. But much is often real. Along Romeo, no, way of areas. Let me believe and trust that that person too will overcome theirs. Just as God is helping me, let me be the extension of help to this person. Okay? Watch the area. Don't do that again. But God is going to have, you know, a genuine prayer. God is going to have mercy on you. I'm not, there's no condemnation. I'm not going to make you feel bad. I'm not going to, you know, God will have mercy from my heart. He will have mercy on you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we sow mercy. And there we are willing to make forgiving cheap. Again, Pastor Kule briefly. I'm sure we caught it when Pastor Kule shared. It's an act of the will. Forgiveness. This is forgiveness must be cheap. You know this forgiveness, when you remembered you forgive the person, and you remembered what the person does, you have put such a premium on it, it's not even working because, you are remembering all the things that you should be forgetting. The things that should be in the sea of forgetfulness. I know how the devil works. You remember how the person did it, and you tell another person, and every time you remember, you add one that was not there before. It becomes like those African magic movies, part one, part two, part three. If they record your imaginations of how the thing happened, the one you are thinking after 1 week is different from the one you thought. You have added another version. You have watching version 7 of what did happen. The devil playing with our minds. Forgive and forget. You don't forget, you keep on being a snare and tripping you up. You're rehearsing your mind, it's going to trip you up. You just wonder, how did I get here again? I haven't let this thing go. I haven't let it out of my mind. It's tripping me up again. It's tripping me up again. Forgetting the things that are past. Amen. Pressing on. So you need to be willing as an act of your will. Forgiveness is enlightened self-interest. It goes with mercy. You want people to forgive you when it's your own turn, and it will be your turn sometime. Forgive them when it's their own turn, in Jesus' name. So this is how we get there, in unity, in love, in sowing mercy, in being willing to forgive, so that together we can receive and walk in an abundance of the life of God, to work in our individual lives, to walk in the corporate Zion church that God is building up in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just come before the Lord. Ask God for mercy for myself, for all of us who have heard, that these things that we've heard will not stand against us, but they will count for us in Jesus' name. Lord, grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Flood the eyes of our understanding with light concerning these things, so that they will be rooted in us by revelation, unshakable. Able to live these things as a reality in the name of Jesus. That we receive an understanding of the promised land of abundance, so that we will have all sufficiency in all things, abounding unto every good work, to establish God's covenant upon the earth, to see His kingdom come, His will being done on earth as it is done in heaven, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this time. We look to you, Lord, for your mercies. Thank you, first of all, Lord, even for mercy upon me. I came in feeling so inadequate, so unprepared. Lord, I give you all the glory. Publicly say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for letting me know it's not willing or running. It's you who shows mercy. Thank you because it's been a day of mercy. We worship you. Lord Jesus, faithful and merciful High Priest, ever living to make intercession for us, praying for us, to ensure that we succeed in the great calling to which you've called us. We say we thank you. We look to you for your intercession. We look for the power of your resurrection to work mightily on our behalf in the name of Jesus. Precious Holy Spirit, we thank you for comfort, for encouragement in the things that you've caused us to hear this evening. Help us that, Lord, we will use this encouragement to run faster. We'll use this comfort to do better. We'll use this encouragement, O Lord, even to break through new barriers, to shed grave clothes that have held us back in time past. In Jesus' name.